Hello, my name is Peter Rosenbaum, and this podcast accompanies the June 2024 editorial in Developmental Medicine called Beyond Fixing, Reconsidering Our Assumptions About Interventions. I've been doing a lot of thinking about what it is we do in our field of developmental disability and how our traditional focus has been on impairments in body structure and function, with the need to offer interventions. Therapies of various sorts, physical, chemical, structural, surgical, and so on, to try to improve the nature of the impairment with the expectation that that would in turn lead to improvements in functioning. That means that we are trying to influence the body of the child who has the impairment and whose functioning is in some way limited, which is why we're seeing them in the first place. Often, traditionally, our interventions have been offered by experts like ourselves with experience in childhood disability from various disciplines, offered with good intentions to parents with the hope that parents will carry on the interventions and the therapies we recommend between visits to us. One of the implications of this is that parents become therapists, and it is very clear from parents that that is not a role they seek or wish to have. But another more subtle implication is that during the time that parents are carrying out our well-intentioned and often good advice, they are also focusing on the parts of their child that are impaired. And I try to reflect on that in the editorial, in which I tell the story of an 8-year-old boy who, much to his mother's surprise, did not want an artificial right hand, having been born without the hand, because, for reasons he explained in detail, he was happy with who he was and how he could do things, and was pleased that he could figure things out for himself. His mother's response to that, as I have written in the editorial, was to be at first very distressed and then to realize that she had been looking at what her child wasn't rather than what he was, what he couldn't do rather than what he could do. And when I shared these observations with a friend and colleague, a trusted parent, a very experienced parent of a now mid-30s young man with significant functional impairments related to cerebral palsy, this is what Donna said to me. And I share these remarks, which I will read. I share them with her permission. I thought about a moment when Nicholas was young and I was doing therapy all the time with him, believing that therapy and the power of my love and will could cure CP. We were on a blanket on the balcony at the cottage. Something distracted me and I looked at Nicholas's face into his eyes. I realized at that moment that it had been so long since I had looked into his eyes. It was only his arms and legs that I knew so well. I decided then that I would change, that I would look at my son and we would begin again. And in conversations we've had since then, she has shared with me many pictures of her son at various ages engaging in a variety of activities that they did as a family, that they do as a family, even though he needs them adapted in many ways. And this emphasis on functioning is, of course, a perception that many of us are increasingly presenting and arguing about. So I thought it was just very interesting to think about what it is we're trying to achieve and whether, with the best of intentions, and I ascribe only good intentions to all of us, including myself, over the last 50 years of my career, whether our best assumptions still create problems for parents because we focus on what isn't and what is broken or what is impaired rather than what is. I'm happy to hear people argue these points with me. I would love to have further conversation about them, but I hope you will at least find them provocative and interesting. Thanks for listening.